Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The epistle reading for today is from Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. This can be found on page 1128 in your pew Bible. As we follow the example that Jesus set for us, we will find that our lives center on strengthening others, just as Christ did, bringing glory to God in all circumstances. A reading from Romans chapter 15, beginning with the first verse. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
You may have come across headlines similar to this one that appeared a few weeks ago. Man who spent $14,000 to become a collie changes his mind after realizing it's very difficult to walk like a dog. You might have gone on to read the subheading which said that Toko, that's the man's name, is now considering imitating other animals such as a panda, a bear, or a fox. Indeed, you might also have scrolled through the article to find that there's a video of him going to a dog park. There's an obstacle course in the dog park, and Toko was not particularly good at this. There were these poles you zigzag through, and he promptly gets stuck. And there are these hurdles, and every single time he knocks down the bars that were on top of them, which just proves that it's difficult to teach a new dog old tricks. Now, items like these grab you. They make you curious what he looks like, and let me tell you, the collie costume is very realistic. And if you're at all like me, the reason these headlines grab you is because they allow you to get some exercise rolling your eyes and allow you to get worked up about there being too many nuts out there nowadays. The reason why the world is, well, you know, going to the dogs. We're in the last week of a series called The Church on Mission, looking at how God has expanded his church even in the midst of conflict, imprisonment, and disagreement. And today our scripture finds us in Paul's letter to the Romans. Well, at the church in Rome at the time, there was a disagreement. In the church, there were members who did not eat meat. They reasoned that because God forbade the eating of meat in the Old Testament law, it probably was a good idea to continue to abstain from eating these foods. On the other hand, there were other members who perhaps had heard of Peter's vision. In that vision, out of heaven came these four-footed animals and reptiles and birds, and there was a voice that said, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And so when these people went to the restaurant, they ordered from the full menu. Well, back then, the church shared many meals together, and you can imagine what it must have been like. Each group sniffed at the other's doggy bag and thought they were barking up the wrong theological tree. Neither group would let sleeping dogs lie, and some of them were meaner to each other than junkyard dogs. Well, Is there anything in our church life today where we disagree with one another? Something you feel you have to email Nathan about? Which, by the way, are now all going into his junk inbox, you know. Goodbye, you all. Or perhaps you've noticed someone is rather like Toko, who doesn't quite fit, who's knocking everything over, and who's liable to ruin everything. Well, let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say about this. Romans chapter 15, starting from verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Notice, in this passage, Paul does not say that they're both right. Each group had good reasons for their sincerely held beliefs, but Paul says, we who are strong, aligning himself with one side of the debate. That's very different from the way we do things nowadays. In our world today, you're not supposed to make such normative declarations. You're supposed to say that everyone's right, because everyone is entitled to their own truth. If you don't affirm everything about me, well then, you're hating on me. But that's not how Paul deals with it. Paul states that one group got it right, but he immediately moves to another important consideration. If we are right and we are strong, he says, we have the obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. We may be justified in saying that Toko is a dog, that is true, but when we say it to wound him or to get our eye roll count up, we are reveling in our superiority over our unenlightened and poorly adjusted brother, and in doing that, we are merely pleasing ourselves. Indeed, the translation here in verse 1 is not the most helpful. When it says to bear with, we're apt to think of it as putting up with. Something to be preceded with a heavy outtake of breath and, well, you know, I suppose if I have to, well, let's get on with it. Whereas actually bear here means to carry. You get home late after a long drive. Your three-year-old is so tired, she's fast asleep in her car seat. You unbuckle her. You carry her into the house, lay her down on her bed, and you kiss her before you leave the room. It's carrying rather than putting up with. We are not to please ourselves, but rather, verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. To be clear, this is not the same as people pleasing. One commentator writes, neighbor pleasing, which the Bible commands, must not be confused with people pleasing, which the Bible condemns. People pleasing is about giving people what they want so that they will like us. And doing things so that people will like us is about pleasing ourselves. People pleasing is self-pleasing. But our concern is to be for the other person. In other words, when we hear about Toko, we should instead wonder why he ended up in the doghouse that he's in. Why he feels that being a dog is better than being a man. What are the failures, the exclusion, and the pain that he has gone through that this for him is the solution? Is that how we normally think when we encounter people? Looking for the inner person that carries the likeness of God? This doesn't have to just be with quote-unquote lesser people. When you're trying to bundle the kids out of the door in the morning, do we look at them in that way? Or at the end of the long week, do we truly see our spouse? Or on Sunday mornings, the people who fill this room? When our concern is for the other, we would very naturally go on to thinking about how we can help. We would not do it grudgingly, but gladly. We would speak truth, and we would speak love. We would walk with Toko on the way back to finding himself as a person endowed with dignity by his creator. That's what Pastor Heather would do, after all. We do like to joke about that here, don't we? But when we hold Heather up as the zenith of saintliness, I suspect what we're doing is that we are subtly giving ourselves a free pass. You know, being like that, yeah, Heather can do that, but not me. But that's not what Paul says. Let each of us, please his neighbor for his good to build him up. It's interesting that Paul shifts here in verse 2 from using the word brother, which he had been using in the previous chapter, to using the word neighbor. And when you're in a church and you hear the word neighbor, you think of Jesus' command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that is what Paul is trying to bring to mind here. And let me tell you, Jesus phrasing the command in this way is pure genius. And here is why. The Christian philosopher Christopher Watkin points out that our love, so-called, can go wrong in two different ways. First, it can become too specific. That's what happens on dating websites. You sit down in front of your computer and think, looking for female, must be 25 to 29 years old, 5'5" or taller, Ivy League grad, not even new Ivies, Ivy League grad, nice smile, non-smoker, and must love dogs. You press enter and, oh darn, forgot to mention Christian, but never mind, we'll work that out later on. You know what? You're not looking for a person, just a carefully curated collection of qualities that you get to select. And sorry to have to say this, but your profile is not you either, but rather an idealized projection of yourself. So when you put all of that together, we can rightly conclude that there are no real people on dating websites. When we get too specific, we stop seeing people. On the other hand, our love can become too general, like every beauty pageant contestant whose greatest wish is world peace. World peace is great. It has the virtue of making you sound noble, but it's also so big you can't reasonably do anything about it, so you do nothing about it. I wonder if you've ever seen one of those videos where the camera keeps zooming out. You know, it might start with somebody lying outside in the grass, and then the camera zooms out, and you soon start seeing the park they're in, and then the city they're in, and then before you know it, it's the United States, the whole Earth, the Milky Way, and then just a white light. Have you ever seen those videos? Yeah? Yeah, I've always wondered how the drone could go so high up. But when you zoom out like that to get the big picture in order to see the whole universe, tell me, do you still see the person the video started with? You do not. You do not. Your love is too big. Charlie Brown of Peanuts fame said it best, "I love humanity, it's people I can't stand." So you see, when our love is too specific or when it's too general, it can go wrong and become a problem. We stop seeing people as persons, and we end up with abstractions that free us from having to act. But the genius of Jesus' command is that he tells us to love our neighbor. Your neighbor is your neighbor. You don't get to swipe right or to swipe left. You don't get to choose. You're always forced to deal with a real concrete human being with qualities you like and don't like. They enter the dog park, they come to Stanwich Church, they sit next to you, they have fleas, it's your neighbor to love now. And if you change pews next week in order to get a different neighbor, everyone will know because you always sit in the same part of the sanctuary. Don't try that. Except for those of you who come late, but we'll talk about you another time. If this neighbor business doesn't sound like your idea of fun, then I have to tell you, sorry, about verse 3. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. Now you'll see in that verse that there is a quote, and that quote comes from Psalm 69. In the psalm, it's King David speaking to God, and he's saying, God, I love you, but I live in a neighborhood where it's not cool to be a Christian. So you know, God, every time I talk about you, I have to deal with people's derision, I'm often canceled, and I have to fight their invading armies. I have to deal with trouble on your behalf. The reproaches of those who reproach you, God, have fallen on me. But look again at verse 3. Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. So tell me, in this verse, who's bearing the reproach? It's Jesus. Paul turns the tables and tells us it's the other way around. It's not us bearing things for God. It's Jesus bearing things for us. We like to think of ourselves as the strong ones. After all, that's how we ended up with a job title we have, the portfolio, the trophy husband. If you identify as a trophy wife, that's fine too. Or sometimes we think we're strong because we have the pedigree. My great-grandfather is the Emmaus after whom Emmaus Hall is named. And we don't even have to be wealthy or well-connected to feel superior. In a survey, 73% of Americans think they're above-average drivers. We all live in Oprah's world. You get a trophy, you get a trophy, you get a trophy. Everybody gets a trophy. We're all winners. But here's the thing. The great King David had everything you and I have and more. But even he had failings that Jesus had to carry for him on his shoulders on the cross. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're not better than him. You and I are Toko. We look like beautiful specimens of our species, but we are the ones who enter the dog park, knock over all the beautiful things, couldn't successfully jump over a single hurdle on our own. But friend, here's the good news. The Bible tells us that God, in his mercy, made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ carried our failings on the cross so that we don't have to carry them anymore. The reproaches that should have fallen on us have fallen on Jesus. We're the weak and broken ones. Should we not therefore bear the weaknesses of other weak and broken ones? We have been shown mercy. Should we not show mercy? Jesus carried us. Should we not carry our sister and our brother? Verse 4 tells us that whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So let's think a little how we might be instructed by these words of God that we've just reflected upon. Well, Sandwich Church, I don't know all the things we might disagree about. I know we might have different preferences around the kind of music we sing in here. I also know that we have an election coming up later this year. And I know there are many type A people in this town, so I'm sure there are other things we'll disagree on. And it's fine to disagree, so long as we remember. Let each of us please his neighbor, for Christ did not please himself. Indeed, we don't want an agreement and unity that's a result of keeping things nice and superficial. limited to good mornings while the children are being dismissed from the service, where we hide who we truly are. And we don't want a unity that's a result of welcoming only those who are like us in every way. How horrible it would be if I came to church and have to keep bumping into myself. In our families, we are related, yet we're all different. And we get close enough to get on each other's nerves, yet we find a way to keep loving one another. So in the family of God, we are different. We're all different, yet related because of what Christ did for us. We need to get close enough to disagree, yet carry on loving one another. Carry on caring one another. When we do so, we'll be a bright and attractive light that draws people to Jesus, and the church will grow and bring glory to God. Derek Redmond is a British sprinter whose dream was to win the gold medal in the 400-meter dash. He missed the 88 Olympics, but 4 years later, the dream was finally in sight. At the Olympics in Barcelona, he had the fastest time in the prelims, and he came first in his quarterfinal. In the semis, the gun went off, and things were going well. But halfway through the race, he grabbed his right leg as he felt a sharp pain rip through it. And he crumpled to the ground as the other sprinters ran on. His hamstring had torn. Determined to finish the race, Redmond picked himself up and began hopping on his left foot, careful to stay in his lane in order to not be disqualified. But each hop proved to be much more painful than the one before it. Then from high up in the stands, a brawny man started coming down, pushed past security, and ran onto the track. The man came alongside Redmond and put his arms around him to hold him up. It was Jim Redmond, Derek's father. Derek buried his face into his father's shoulders and started sobbing. "You don't have to do this," Jim told his son, wanting to stop him from doing further damage to himself. But Derek disagreed. "I have to finish," he insisted. "Well," Jim replied, "we'll do it together then." And so they did, Jim fighting off other event staff that came toward them as he held his son up, and together they hobbled all the way to the end. The crowd didn't know whether to applaud or to weep, so they did both. Nobody remembers who won the race, but many remember the father who carried his child to the finish line. Friend, you have an injury that means you can't make it to the finish line. But because of this, God sent Jesus to come down from on high, and he fought off the forces of death and evil in order to carry you across the finish line. Now you see your brother and sister with an injury, and you know about injuries because you were once broken too. Come down from the stands. Carry him. Carry her. Help them complete their races. Imagine when you do this, all the people in the stands looking on. People in Fairfield County and in Westchester County, in your office in Manhattan, in Stamford, at the gym and at the coffee shop, in your kids' school, in your home. I tell you, when they see you, and when they see us love like this, they will clap and they will cry. It will move them as they see reflected the greatness of the Father's love. It will draw them to God himself. That is how Paul encourages us at the end of our passage. So let me close with a blessing in verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.